On a new perek, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and this is known as Perek HaOreg, and it really continues, in effect, what we've started in the last couple of prokhim to go through various malachos of Shabbos. HaOreg Shlosha Chutim B'Tchila, V'Yachas Ala Oreg, Chayav. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he has to weave three threads on what's called betchila. Okay, so we're talking about a brand new fabric that hasn't been created yet. He's got to create three threads, weave three threads. Then he has to add achas al ha'orig. He has to add one thread to a fabric that's already woven, or at least partially woven. And basically, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's going to be the chashivus of Meleches Oreg. When on the one hand, you start a new creation, and on the other hand, you add to something that's already in existence. V'chachomim omrim, chachomim say, bein betchila, bein besof. You don't have to start a beged and then finish a beged. Just one of the two. You know, either you start a beged or you add to a beged. And either way, shiuro b'shnei chutim. You don't have to weave three threads. All you need is two threads. That's the minimum shear for meleches hariga. So according to Chachamim, the Tanakama, according to the Chachamim, not the Tanakhamim, Tanakhamim is Rabbi Eliezer, but according to the Chachamim, it matters not whether you start to weave a new fabric, or whether you add to an already woven fabric, but in both cases, he'll only be chayev if he weaves two threads. And when it says, bein betchila, bein besof, the concept of besof, it doesn't mean that you actually complete a garment, or it might mean that you add something to the garment. That's also enough. In fact, we had a Gemara earlier that seemed to indicate that if you add a stitch that will complete the garment, it could be that in that case you chayev for only one thread. You don't even need to. Now we go on to Ha'ose Shtei Batei Nirin. Now Batei Nirin is a reference to the shasi, right? The shasi is those threads that go like vertical, you know, north and south, as opposed to the orev, which is the one thread that goes in and out from, we'll call it, east to west. But anyway, two is the minimum for Riga, but generally in weaving they would put many, many different threads that were stretched on these two rollers, I call them. The fancy English word is hedle, H-D-E-D-D-L-E, okay? You may have that in your translation, I don't know. But in any event, when you stretch two of these threads through these hedles or hedle eyes, then that's called Shnei Batei Nirim. And the English word for these threads, which we call in the Torah language Shasi, Shin Sa'atav Yud, is called a warp, W-A-R-P. Okay. And Binirin. Nirin means that there are two rectangular utensils, let's just use that word, and each one of them has a hole in the middle, so the shasi will now go through one hole and then go up to the other hole, and that allows it to go up and down, because the nirin, you know, will be alternatively pulled up and down, so that the orev thread could be woven into those two threads. And then it says, Bekirus. So we don't know exactly what a kirus is. The Gemara is going to go into that. And then, Benapa, Bekavra, Ubesal. Okay, so he now has the shasi that's already, you know, been taken into the Bate Nirin, and then apparently he lays them out side by side, fastening them in a place where the weft, W-E-F-T, which is the Arev, can wrap around on the top of each one and then under the next one. And he needs something to hold this in place, and he can use any of the following kalim, the utensils that are mentioned here, a sieve, a coarse sieve, a basket, and that's the chiyuv of Oseh Shtei Batei Nirin. Then we have another malacha which is called tofer, sewing. And the Mishnah establishes that the shear of tofer is 2 stitches. Then there's something called korea, which means he rips apart a garment or part of a garment, and that he's chayav for only al menas litvar shtei tefiros. So he tears it in order that he to facilitate the stitching of 2 tefiros, the 2 stitches. Otherwise it would be makalkel, it would be destructive. Okay, now we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanakhama of Mishnah, ki also Rabbi Yitzchak, Tani Shtayim. Apparently Rabbi Yitzchak had a brisa, and according to that brisa, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're only chayav for 2 threads when you begin a new fabric. Our girsa, our Mishnah says 3 threads, but we have a brisa that says the minimum is 2 threads, and that's enough. Now, if it's 2 threads, then it's getting very close to the shita of the Chachamim. So Rashi tries to explain, according to this transmission of the brisa, what is exactly the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And the answer is the case where he threads the orev into a material that's already woven, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that in this case he'd be chayav for ariga for only 1 thread, where the Rabbanan say you require 2. If you talk about the beginning of weaving of a new fabric, then Rabbi Eliezer agrees that you need 2 threads. You have to weave 2 threads. But the machlokas is, what happens if you're adding to an already pre-existing woven material? And Rabbi Eliezer says that you're going to be chayav even for only 1 thread. The Rabbanan require a minimum of 2 threads. So the Gemara asks, "Vanan tanami shalosh." What are we going to do with that mission? It says 3 threads. Lo kasha, ha ba'alime v'ha b'ktine. Are they thick threads or are they thin threads? In other words, if you're talking about thick threads, then you have the brisa that says all you need is 2 threads. That's already a significant, shall I say, progress in weaving. But the Mishnah is talking about small or thin threads, and there you require 3, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Amri leila haigisa v'amri leila haigisa. You can explain it this way or the other way. Amri leila haigisa. Some will explain it that alime, if they're thick threads, is then tlosa lo sasre. But trey sasre knows with thick threads, it's very easy for the threads to unravel because they're not really tightly, you know, woven together. They don't hold together. So therefore, with thick threads, you'll have to get at least 3 such threads in order for it to be permanent, in order to have a woven fabric that will not unravel. But in the case of thin threads, all you need is two. All you have to do is weave two threads in order to be chayv, and two threads, if you weave them properly, will not unravel. V'yamri le'lahay gilsa, but there's another shita that takes it the opposite direction. K'tire, tlasa yediye, tre lo yediye. If you have these small, thin threads, then what's noticeable is only when you have three threads. Two are not noticeable. In other words, the halacha of moleches machsheves requires not only permanence, but also a heker, meaning that it's obvious, it's recognizable. If you can't see it, it's not called significant. Like the Gemara is going to talk about the killing of certain small kinim, that's not called significant because it's not nikar, it cannot be, nobody knows about it. So when you have thin threads and you weave just two of them, that doesn't have chashivas because no one actually sees these threads. However, in the case of the brisa, where the brisa says that two threads are sufficient, that's alime, those are thick threads, and trei nami yadi, it is noticeable and obvious to the spectator, even if you only have two threads, because they're very thick threads. So what is Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah referring to? Is he referring to thin threads or to thick threads? And that depends upon these two interpretations of Rabbi Eliezer. According to one interpretation, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah requires three threads because we're talking about thick threads, and they easily unravel. According to the second interpretation, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is dafka talking about thin threads, and he requires three so that the weaving process will be noticeable, and that gives it chashivus. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, ha'oreg shlosha chutu b'tchila v'echad al ha'oreg. If he's creating a brand new garment, then he's only chayef for weaving if he has three threads. If, on the other hand, he's adding to an already pre-existing woven garment, then all he needs is one thread, and he's chayef. V'chachomim omrim, bein b'tchila bein b'sof, whether he's beginning a new garment to weave it from scratch, as we would say, or he's adding to a pre-existing garment, shi'uram, there's always one objective, absolute shear, and that is two chutim. And then it says, ubasafa. Okay, now we have a section here about a safa. So Rashi seems to say that a safa, which is at the edge, right? So you have a garment and it has a very, let's say, a certain length to it. And at the edge, you create a border. And for that, it says shnei chutim berochav shlosha batei nirim, that you'll need a minimum of two threads, and they're going to have to be in a width of three batei nirim, which are called heddle eyes, as we said before in the English translation. So once again, we're talking about weaving threads of arev, which again in English is called weft, W-E-F-T. And when he weaves two of these weft threads across the batei nirim, three batei nirim, then he's going to be chayev. That's already a significant ariga. Ha'orek shlosha chutu b'tchila v'yachad al harik chayev, stoma kirabi Eliezer. Does this price, without mentioning any other name of anyone who dissents, reflect the shita of Rabbi Eliezer? Usually that's not what we find. You know, we don't usually find a stoma, a brisa that would only have one opinion that represents the minority opinion. Okay, Tanya, either we have another braisa, orek shnei chutim al hagas v'al ha'imra chayav. So we're talking about weaving two threads and adding them to a large piece of woven fabric. Gas means very large. Or, alternatively, two threads on the border of an imra. Imra is a new piece of fabric, and he's chayav in these cases. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu echad. In other words, even if he adds one thread to a woven fabric that pre-exists, he's chayav. Ubesafa, but if you're talking about the edge, where he's making some sort of a border, then you need shnei chutim berochav shlosha batei nirin. Right, as we said before, two threads in a width of three hetel eyes. And then he's chayav. Holamazet dome, to what can we compare this? Lioreg tziltzel katan. He's weaving a small belt. And the minimum shear for a small belt is shnei chutim al rochav shlosha batei nirin. So I would like to understand, and maybe we'll see if there are any footnotes on this, why is it that in the case of a small belt, you need such a major, minimum shear to be chayav? You need shnei chutim with the rochav shlosha batei nirin. My high, I mean, maybe because a belt is such a relatively small woven object, it has no real size to it. So therefore, you're not doing anything chashuv in weaving a small belt unless you get to this point. You know, it's got to be, has to have some significance to it. Ha'orek shnei chutim al agas v'ala imra chayav stomach rabbanon. This particular braisa reflects the shita of the rabbanon, because we said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of shnei chutim al agas, all you needed was one additional thread, correct? Let me just go over that. Yeah, Rabbi Eliezer said afilu echad. And al imra, which was the case where he creates a border on a new piece of fabric, Rabbi Eliezer said, all you need is afilu echad. And here it says you need two. So this is a braisa that reflects the shita of the Rabbanon, that there's an absolute shear in all cases of weaving of two chutim. Now the Mishnah says, ha'ose shnei batei nirin. He's chayav for setting up these two hetel eyes. So the Gemara says, ma ba nirin. What does it mean? He has to place these shasi threads into nirin. Omer Abaye tarte bivate nira. So we're talking about a system where a hetel rope is wrapped around each of the shasi threads two times to create these hetel loops. Vechada, and another time, benira, around the hetel rope itself. So I have a long footnote on this. You know, you really have to, I think somebody actually sent me, but I didn't get a chance to look at it, a link to a video on weaving. He says that Rashi describes a rod and a rope system, and he says that rather than employing a rod with a series of leashes ending in loops which are permanently attached to the rod, it's a single very long rope that was tied to the rod and was used to wrap loops around warp threads after they were already fixed into place. Thus, instead of passing the warp threads through the loops, as was customarily done, loops were formed around warp threads. So the impression I get from this is that this is an unusual system of in the methodology of weaving, called a rod and rope system. So I guess instead of getting the chassis threads into these loops in the Batei Nirin, instead they used a rod, and this rod had various leashes in it, and it had loops that were attached to it, and it had one long, very long rope that was tied to the rod, and that was used to wrap around these warp threads around these loops. So he says that the rope coming from the rod is looped around the first warp thread two times and then looped around itself. All right. I'm just wondering, let me take out the Masifta for a moment. Just curious to see. Let me just read to you what he has over here as an introduction. He says, Hariga hi yitziras arig, it's the creation of a cloth. Al yidei chutim, through threads, hamashulavim, that are integrated shasi and arev. Okay, fine. First he says, yeshlim toach tchila chutim, and I think we're talking about the chutim of the shasi, li orech, which means vertically, the lengthwise, ze bitzad ze, one chut next to the other, the achar kach, and then l'shalev b'hem chutim l'rochav. So rochav, I think, goes from left to right, the width, and that's called the orev. Al yidei achnasasam l'seirgin me'al umitachas chutei ashesi. So again, you have one time the orev, which again we call the weft, but anyway, the orev goes on top of the chassis, and then you alternate, and it goes below the chuta chassis, above and below. Now, letzorach ariga shtamshu beklei ariga, they use various utensils. B'shnei tzadav hayumunachos shtei koros eitz agulos rechoko zu mizu al kora achas kruchim chutei hashasi umetuchim ad lekora shnia shesamach ilea nasa ariga v'alea nikrach ha'orig ha'orug. So, right, so he has, I call them rollers, he calls them kora, different like beams, but I think they were round, if I'm not mistaken. And the chute ashesi would be stretched from one roller to the other. Now, b'chdelach shchil es chuta arev, in order to weave the arev chut bein chute ashesi, and it's got to be l'seirgin. Seirgin means, you know, one on top, one on the bottom. Hayumavirin machtis michute ashesi l'seirgin bebatei nirin. Right, so that's where they injected the chute ashesi into these batei nirin, which are the lulos or tabos hakvuim banirim. Okay, so in the picture on the left, you know, you see that the chassis, many threads that are stretched from one roller to the next, and they are placed inside these batei nirin, and specifically inside the nirin. The nirin are these rectangular things. And specifically, they're put through these lulos, through these loops, which are called batei nirin. And he says that half of the Chutei Si were placed, he says, L'seirigin v'batei nirin, just one second, U'machtes ha'shnia, and the other half, M'chutei Si v'batei nirin nosofim. I'm not sure what he means by that, why he has to add other batei nirin here, I'm not sure. He says, B'ezras ha'nirim, because the threads were placed inside these holes, is therefore mashchu, they were able to pull half of the chutim of the shisi in one direction, and then achakach mashchu with the second set of nirin, the maksa shekel shal chute in the other direction. So basically these batei nirin are holding on to, you know, different sets of the threads, and there are some threads there in one base mirror and another in another base mirror, so that when you pull the base mirror and it goes up and down, it allows you to have, you know, certain threads going up and certain threads going down, so that now the chuta orev, you know, can go, as we said before, in alternate ways up and down on top of the other chutim. Klia riga elu shebehem mashchu esanirim biyad hoyu mishamshos esanoshim fahu asui mi umad. And he says tzir aleph. Funny thing is, he doesn't bother labeling these diagrams. Which one is Tzir Aleph? Can you please tell me which one is Tzir Aleph? I mean, that's a real fashla, not to tell me which one is Tzir, unless he assumes that by definition it's the one on the right. Please. Kliya Riga Cherim Hayibahem. And that's Seer Beis. I guess he's talking about two possibilities. Either you do it manually or you do it with your feet. I don't know where exactly.
I know that you would, there was something you pressed with your foot, like it was a whole contraption.
Right. So that's what he's talking about in one of these two diagrams. He calls it Seer Beis. Anyway, Bein Klizev, Bein Klizev, Chol Pam Liachar Shehuvar Chuta Orev Vayidochafim Umatzmidim Oso Liyariga Yiria Haruga. Piesus Klia Machuna Masreik. Shaya Ose Ke'en Masreik. Okay. So I have a feeling that this Masreik is a utensil that's used to make sure that all the threads are in place. All right. Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer holds that Oreg Shlosha Chutim Vitchila. In other words, these are the first three Chutim of Orev in the beginning of the Ariga of this cloth. And one Chut Orev, Al HaOreg, Shemosif, Al Oreg Shekayam, okay, fine, is Chayav. Chachomer min bein b'tchila bein b'sof shi'uro b'shnei chutim. Okay, so that we discussed. Then he says, u'b'safa im lebeged sha'oreg yesh safa li'orech shashesi hashesi mimin shona mishar chutim shal hashesi. Oh, so this safa is dafka made up of different additional threads. Ubarokhav Shlosha Bote Nirin, she Ural is Chai Vishabis, Shne Chuti Barokhav Shlosha Bote Nirin. The Afsha Ain Barokhav Shlosha Bote Nim Shir Kemole Rokhav Asit, Shushir Rokhav Hariga, Lishai Vamalechas Haorig, Mikomakom Ischai Khan, Af Al Arigas, Shir Katsar Zemishum Ha. Zeh ha'oreg b'sfas ha'beged ha'shona l'mazeh domig l'oreg tziltzel katan chagora tzara she'eno rechava yosef yishlosha batei nirin shadinu she'ha'oreg v'hevir barochva shnei chutim shal orev barochav shlosha batei nirin chayev k'mo chein af ha'oreg al ha'sofa ha'suya mimin acher is chayev barigas shir rochav shlosha bati nirim al af she'ein bo kishir mole rochav hasit. So we're going to have to know a little bit more about this. Well, let's just see what we can do here. So ha'oreg shlosha chutim b'tchilo ve'echla ha'oreg chayev stomach Rabbi Eliezer and Tanya Ida ha'oreg shnei chutim al agas Ha'orig be'emtza arigoso, or ala imra, hosifam al imra v'tchilas ha'beg kefishri gilim la'rog b'sfas ha'begid l'rochvo, orif mimin acher, kidei sheyishamesh sofa l'begid, chayef, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu echad. All you need is to add one chut. U'besofa, and if he is a beged, ha'oreg yesh safa, li'oreg chutei ha'shasi, mimin acher, barokhav shlosha batei nirim, im orag, shnei chutei barokhav shlosha batei nirim chayov, that's a small shear, ha'lamaze dome li'oreg tziltzel katan, shnei chutei barokhav shlosha batei nirim. It's a oreg shnei chutim al agas ve'al imra chayev stoma kirabbana. Klomar, mikach shatana sheshona b'raise zu shona shitas chachomim b'stam ve'lo b'shma mashma shesover shalocha kimosam. Ha'ose shnei batei nirin chayev. Mai bin nirin. What's the case that you chayev for the malocha va'ose shnei batei nirin? In other words, apparently he implements this malacha with a kli that's called nirin. Okay, which is a kli ariga mishamish sanoshim. Amar Abaye tarte v'bote nira. V'chada v'nira. So I'll read to you the translation. He says, shtei pa'amim mavir kol echad mishnei chutei ashesi bein chutei anirin pam achas maviro bein chutei anirin atluyim bekona echad upam achas bein shinei hamasrek v'chada beniro upam achas mavir kol echad mihem betoch beis anir shall anir atoli bekona hasheni. So basically the system was that the heddle rope is wrapped around each of the shasi thread two times for heddle loops and one time around the heddle rope itself. And that's what we tried to discuss earlier about the system of the rod and the rope. Bekiros, my Bekiros, Omar Rav Mitsubisa, a heddle frame, and that's by used generally by those who weave curtains. So it's looms that are used by weavers to make curtains, with some sort of a frame which took the place of the rod and leash system in ordinary looms used by women was manipulated by petals, by the feet. And the Mishnah teaches us that he's only chayev if he sets up petals in the frame of such a loop. Hatofish de tfiros, hatanina biavos melachos. Why did the Mishnah here at the beginning of this parak have to repeat what we already were taught in the first, in the kalagodal list of the melachos? Hatofish de tfiros. So what is our Mishnah adding anything? Mishum de kaboyle misnei seifa, it's an introduction to the second half. Hakorei al menas litvar shtei tfiros. That when you rip something, you chayev if your plan was to sew two stitches. Ketoni nami atofer. So he mentions the din of the tofer, but he's really interested in the din of korea. Va korea. Hatani Nami Tana Tanina Biavas Malach is also listed in the 39 Malachos. What's the Mishnah telling us here? Elamishum de Kaboila Misne Seifa Hakorea Bechamoso Vial Meso. He wants to teach us in the next Mishnah, which we're going to get to, that's on Amid Beis, that Hakorea Bechamoso Vial Meso. If he rips his garments out of anger or out of an expression of grief and mourning, so mishalchik toni aso atofer shtei tefiros. So this tofer shtei tefiros in our Mishnah is an introduction to the Mishnah of korea b'chamoso v'al meso. A korea menas litvar shtei tefiros heichi mishkaches lo. Where do we find such a thing that you rip something in order to stitch it up? The Avda Bey Kista. He made the garment like a pocket. No, it's like lumpy. It thicks it. So he has to cut it out and he has to re-sew at least two stitches, and there he's chayev for Meleches Korea. So here we're turning to Daf Kufheim and Beis. And the Mishnah establishes that a korea b'chamoso v'al meso, if he tears in a state of anger or as an expression of mourning, v'chol ha'mekalkalin, and any act of destruction, p'turin, he doesn't have to bring a chatas if he does it b'shogeg. It's not considered a violation of law. V'hamekalkal ha'menas l'taken, if he destroys but for the purpose of repairing it, shi'uro kimetaken. The shear for the destruction is the same as the shear for the reparation. So, for example, if he tears something in order to be able to restitch the garment, he's liable for making a tear that's long enough to require two stitches. Then the Mishnah teaches us the minimum amount for other malachas in preparation of wool, shear amalavin v'amenapetz. The minimum shear of one who whitens a garment or disentangles a garment is, and also vatzoveh vatoveh, if somebody dies or spins, kimelo rochav hasit kofel. That's the double width of a sit. A sit is the space between the index finger and the middle finger, if you stretch apart your fingers. Now, if he's in a malaben and he whitens the garment, or menapates, he disentangles the garment, then dyes or spins enough wool for a thread of twice this length, then he's chayev. Oreg shnei chutim, shiurei kimelo hasit. If he weaves two threads, his minimum measurement is a melo sit. So he's liable for weaving two shasi threads through the warp, through the orev, for the length of a sit. right? That was the size, the space between the index and the middle finger. Even though that amount does not cross the entire width of the fabric. That's the end of the Mishnah. And Amir Tzshem, the Gemara, will pick up tomorrow.